Talking today with Clay Pope from the Oklahoma Association of Conservation District. Clay, let's talk about several things. First of all, I know really excited about the news here in the last few days that you were able to announce in regards to some more streams coming off the so-called impaired list of the EPA. Explain, first of all, what the list is and the accomplishment here.
The impaired list basically is the list of streams and stream segments nationwide that are not meeting their overall water quality goals. Basically, they're not swimmable and fishable. They're impaired for various reasons, where it's sediment, nutrients, bacteria, any of those what we consider non-point source pollution. That's how those streams get on the list. What we've been able to do in Oklahoma this last year, we've been able to take over 11 of those streams off of that list. That makes almost 30 streams that we've been able to take off in Oklahoma, which is one of the best records in the United States. Now, there is one other state, Tennessee, that's got a little better record than we do, but I think it's important to note all of their work's on one stream system, where ours is through a geographically diverse area. You know, we're dealing with streams in a state that has more ecoregions than any other state in the union, except for maybe California. So we've been able to show that through voluntary conservation practices, you can address a multiple list of non-point source pollution challenges. You know, somebody might say, well, you can't address poultry litter through voluntary conservation efforts. Yes, you can, because we've shown that you can. Some will say that you can't address problems with the cattle industry from, you know, through voluntary programs. Yes, you can, because we showed that you can. Runoff from cropland. We've shown that you can address problems with those issues, not through regulations, not through lawsuits, but through voluntary, locally led programs that work with agriculture producers, that take into consideration their financial situation, that respects their private property rights, but at the end of the day solves the problem. And not only are we taking streams off the 303D list, what's extremely exciting is that the end of the year report from the EPA earlier this year, they had released numbers showing that Oklahoma was number two in non-point source pollution reduction in the United States. End of the year report shows that Oklahoma is number one. And that's a real testimony to the work that the farmers and ranchers are doing out there on their land, the work that they're coming to the table. Because, again, this is voluntary, and it's done through cost share. They're putting their own money into this effort. It shows the stewardship ethic that our producers have, their willingness to address problems. If it's done in a way that takes into consideration the reality that they're looking at on the ground, respects what they're trying to do with their land, but at the same time you approach them and say, hey, you know, we do have an issue here that we need to work on. And I think that's important, because in Oklahoma, the way our partnership works, you have local folks that are leading this locally led process, local conservation district directors that are producers themselves, saying, we have a problem, let's work together to solve it, instead of having somebody from the EPA or the state come out and say, you have a problem and you have to do something about it. You work cooperatively with people, you provide that assistance, we can accomplish great things, and we're really excited about what we're seeing in the area of water quality.
Now, in the case of these streams that we're being able to pull off the EPA list, the impairment list, what sort of practices help us be successful?
Practices like conversion from conventional till to strip till and no-till is one of our big ways of addressing the issue. Fencing off the riparian areas next to the stream, going back 150 to 300 feet next to a stream and putting in fence to keep livestock out, then providing an alternative water source so that a guy's not left with no way to water livestock. Looking at highly erodible land. If you've got some highly erodible land that's in crop production, possibly putting it back into grass. Looking at better pasture management. Looking at your stocking rates, how you're doing things. Sometimes things as simple as moving hay around, making sure that you don't have one area that's down close to the stream that you're consistently feeding your cattle out, which is leading to runoff. Simple things that at the end of the day, in a lot of cases, actually are good for the producer's bottom line over the long run. And those are practices, again, that guys get financial assistance to do. And as we've shown through the numbers, can make serious difference in a lot of cases, drastically improve the water quality that we're dealing with.
I guess what a lot of these are coming, what, through the EQIP program?
And some of it's coming through EQIP. A lot of what we do at the state actually is done in partnership with the EPA through what's called the 319 program. There is part of the Clean Water Act that's voluntary in nature, and that's an EPA program that they provide money that we match at the state level and turn it into another cost-share program in a priority watershed. EQIP programs and CSP and all the other suites of the programs that we have in the conservation title, continuous sign-up CRP, the CREP program that's part of CRP at FSA, all those things working together in concert, and then monitoring what the end results are. That's one of the things that's really unique about Oklahoma. I mentioned those EPA dollars. Some of those dollars actually go to put monitoring in these tributaries so we can see what works and what doesn't work. And by monitoring those tributaries, we've been able to show a lot of success, because a lot of times people look at the mainstream, and of course, non-points a challenge because you've got everything that feeds into that, not just agriculture. You've got runoff from homes, golf courses, businesses, septic tanks, you name it. By working in these tributaries and by monitoring what's happening in those tributaries, we can show what agriculture producers are doing on the ground and how all this, how agriculture is leading to the solution to the problem. So it's a great system, and it's one that we bring a lot of tools to the table from various sources for.
Let's talk about you mentioned funding a couple of levels. Obviously, we're watching the latter days of the state legislative session. Some conservation dollars are obviously at stake.
Well, and we're hopeful right now. There has been some support at the state legislature for some additional dollars for water quality monitoring. I'd mentioned a little bit about how we work on monitoring, and that's a key component of what we do to show whether or not our work on the ground is resulting in the water quality results that we want to see. There's some interest in that at state capital. Obviously, you know, the budget negotiations are going on, and you never know what's gonna come out. But we're hopeful that we're going to see some additional dollars for monitoring. One of the challenges that we are seeing at the state level, same thing we're seeing at the federal level, is the delivery system is facing some strains. Our hope is that we're going to have a flat budget at the state level. But one of our challenges as we move forward, especially with the new farm bill, is making sure that we've got the personnel and the delivery system in place to help agriculture producers take advantage of these programs. Because one of the things we've got to remember, you can have all the programs in the world out there, but if a guy doesn't know what works on his land or know how to fill out the forms or know exactly what, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be taken in consideration on this. I farm too, but I'm not a hydrologist. You know, I'm not an engineer. I know a lot about a lot of things, but there's a lot of things I don't know about. And so you need to have that technical support. You need to have that help in trying to dig through the thickets of programs. That's one of our challenges as we move forward, is making sure that we have that delivery system where we can do that. But we're hopeful, and we can work together with our federal partners and find some solutions to that as well.
Federal level, 2012 Farm Bill. We've got the Senate bill already sitting there, the Senate Ag Committee. So we've seen a commodity or conservation title there. Still a work in progress on the House side, but seems like Mr. Lucas and his people are saying they're pretty happy with what they see on the other side of the Capitol.
I know there's a lot of concerns on Title I, but when you look at the conservation title, I don't think there's very much daylight between Chairman Lucas and Chairwoman Stabenow. There'll be a few changes over on the House side. One thing that we were disappointed in on the Senate side, there were some provisions dealing with upstream flood control that were taken out in committee. We're hopeful that that's going to come back in on the House and survive the conference committee process. Other than that, though, when you look at what is put together in the conservation title, we're very excited. There's a lot of tools that we feel that we're going to be able to use to better assist producers to do things, reduce some of the duplication, maybe streamline a few things, and help us to make sure that we're getting the most resources possible on the ground and have a little flexibility at the state and local level beyond what we already have to make sure that there's resources that our producers couldn't take advantage of in Oklahoma specifically, that maybe we can tweak a little bit when they get down here to make it a little more adaptable to what we're dealing with in this part of the world.
I know that the word has been consolidation as far as various conservation programs. Is that you know, make some sense to you?
Yeah, and I think the key is that you can consolidate programs together as long as you don't lose the focus on what those programs are supposed to do. The perfect example is EQIP and WHIP. As long as you're saying that part of that money has to be reserved for wildlife habitat, I think you can accomplish that goal, because EQIP does a lot of good wildlife work too. It's just not called the Wildlife Habitat Incentive Program. So as long as we make sure that we're not losing focus on what some of these things are supposed to do, I think we'll be okay. Actually, there's some benefit in it when you look at some of the issues on some of the easement programs that in Oklahoma, the way they were written, were not really useful in our part of the world. We have a little flexibility and maybe can move some of those things over into a form of a program that actually does fit Oklahoma and what Oklahoma producers are wanting to do a little bit better. So there's some things out there that we're excited about, and if everything holds together, I think we're gonna have a really good conservation title, and one I think we can get a lot of good work done with.